Hey, greetings, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
It is Brother Tupos and Sister Ama. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We hope you're all doing well.
Uh-huh. I was going to say that, but you did, but that's good, too.
Oh, what's good?
That you said, I hope you're doing well. I was going to try to get that one in there, but...
Oh.
So we both hope you're all doing well.
Absolutely. We're going to do something a little different today. I had some discussions, and Sister Ama was listening in, and she's going to... kind of bring up what we talked about, and then we're going to go over some scriptures.
Well, yeah, because we were driving, and I was, like, putting some notes in there on some of those points that we were talking about and what we heard today. So you can't do that while you're driving, so I...
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So, yeah, let's go over. So we traveled to a new town today. We had a pretty good long drive, and I had some phone discussions with brothers before we left, and so that's what kind of predicated all of this, what this is on, and we're going to share that with you, and maybe that'll... edify you and give you some insight today.
So first of all, on the drive, we're driving along and this white truck comes in, comes right along, and he's hanging right on the side of us, and then he gets up just enough to where they're both in there waving and smiling at us.
Yeah, I saw him creeping up and I'm like, what is this guy doing? And I saw him taking pictures of the back of the van, and we got our gospel signs out, and then the ex-sister Robin said he got right with us, and I turned and they're both waving.
We were waving at him, and then they ended up pulling back a little bit, and then we were pulling off to go to a rest stop and put some gospel cards out, and they went by and they were waving.
They might be our brothers and sisters. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Or maybe someday or whatever. Yeah.
Maybe they'll reach out. That was awesome. That was an awesome moment. It sure beats getting the old finger or getting the blasting horn and people mad.
Oh, especially
to see people waving.
Especially when the big semis go by and they're not happy.
Yeah. And when people wave at us, it's because we have signs like, repent, come out of the culture, obey Jesus. Churches are lying. Follow Jesus. So
yeah.
We don't exactly have soft signs on.
No, it's not like God is love or anything.
These
people are maybe a little bit more unique and maybe seeing through man-made religion,
right.
Maybe. So
they may have come out already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
Seeing the lies.
That was a blessing.
Yeah, it was. And I didn't want to forget, did we mention this last night or did we get the email last night about a man who met us at the so-called Christian music festival that we went to?
Right. I don't think we mentioned
we're
it last night,
everybody.
No.
And he said that to the world, Brother Tupos and I look like death.
Like what we're preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said your message is like death to the world because the world is so much into their entertainment, their flesh, they're enjoying, they're living their best life now, and we come preaching Christ crucified, which is about death, and we come warning people about the wrath of God coming. So they see us like, oh, you're all about death. We want to live, and enjoy life. And he said, I get it. He said, the world is the opposite of what God says. God says, go preach Christ crucified, warn people of the judgment and the wrath that's coming. Die to yourself and live in Christ.
Right.
And all the world wants to do is what, Sister Amen? Live it up.
What they want to do is live it up in the world, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, good point.
Sin. Yeah.
Good point.
So one of the points that you're talking about is you said these two things, and I thought it was kind of interesting, or two sentences. We're going to rejoice together for the Lord, so let's suffer together for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
And I got a couple scripture verses I was going to read for each point on that. And then did you want to talk first?
Yeah, I was just going to say the context of that was brothers that are struggling with some things, not so much sin, but maybe just struggling with some flesh areas of life or whatever, becoming new believers. And I was trying to edify and encourage them to come and bring the suffering to the body so that we can support each other, hold each other up, hold up each other's arms like what they did with Moses, and not to do it on your own because we're all in the body, we're one in the body, and it glorifies God to help them get to the kingdom of God. So not to be shy about bringing those things. A lot of people think, oh, I don't want to bring my problems. Well, I have a question. What's the body for if it's not to bring problems to help you get over those problems?
Right. Yeah, because everybody learns from the problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people get to examine themselves.
Yep, we do. A lot of times we learn about something in the body that's going on with somebody. We go out in the street, somebody asks us about it.
Oh, I know.
And we just covered it.
Different scenarios.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes I know when I hear of other people's issues, it has me examine myself. And then sometimes you can find things within yourself.
Yep.
Or maybe see a strength you didn't realize you had.
Yep. Maybe I need to get
somebody.
Maybe I need to get better at that. Yeah.
So I was going to read Revelation 21:3 for the one that we're going to rejoice together. I mean, could read a whole bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
I just picked one. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
I love that.
So everybody's going to be there. And then Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of
Christ. That's what we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
And how can you bear each other's burdens if you don't bring them? You don't talk about them. You don't confess them. The Bible also says, confess your sins one to another. So that might not be so much about sins, but I think also confessing your problems, your issues, your trials, also the same thing.
Right. I know you sisters know, the longer you walk around with something that you're trying to figure out on your own, and you're not, maybe don't even know how to even put it into words or something, but you know, if you were to bring it to a sister or sisters, plural, the Lord would give you the words to say on how to explain what the issue is or whatever. And sometimes just putting it in the light, it's amazing how it totally changes things.
Amen.
You know how it is? You ever do this? Sometimes you'd be trying to tell somebody an issue or whatever, and by the time you're done talking, you may have already come to the conclusion or solved it, you know?
Yep, I get it. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Another one was, I just have bullet points here. The ultimate love of God. And maybe I didn't quote this exactly right, but I'm going to give you what it was because I just took the notes while we were driving. To strive on and be in the kingdom to glorify God for all eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about the love of God, what it is to love God. And we ultimately came up with that the Bible tells us to obey him. In Ecclesiastes, it says this is the duty of man to fear God and keep his commandments. So loving God is closely connected to obeying him. It's not just like a squishy emotional love feeling. It's doing, it's action, it's holiness. It's obeying his word. And then we're not trying to get to the kingdom of heaven just to avoid hell. That's one of the benefits. We don't want to suffer the wrath of God. We want to get to the kingdom of God in eternity. And we want our brother and sisters to get there so we all can glorify God in heaven. Mm-hmm. So the more people that go, the more glorifying it is to the Father. I know people that are judged to hell is also glorifying to him because he's a righteous judge. I get it. But the thought is that you want to go to be with the Father to glorify him, not just to have bliss and eternal life and be with your poodle Fluffy, like people talk about, but to be with the Father and bring him glory.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was a really good point because a lot of times in our mind, maybe, we can think of eternal life, you know, passing from death into that life is kind of like the ending.
Right.
Oftentimes we don't think further. I know we read it, but sometimes you almost don't think further. So it's nice to have that reminder and see the magnitude of it, if any of that makes sense.
It does. And going back to our first point, helping brothers and sisters so they're stronger, so they make it, so they endure. Look at that. Their trials that we help them through help them make it to the kingdom so that they can glorify God. It all kind of ties together. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and let's see. Revelation 5:13. And this would be like the reveling in the glory of God and his honor. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the sea and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
I love that.
How unto awesome is that? Yeah.
The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And let's see. The next one I have is, let me see. Oh, yeah. You're talking about how ironic it was and in your face for the saying of your best life now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a brother about the false churchianity systems and the opposite, how that Satan has designed those systems to kind of be the opposite, like the antithesis of what God wants or what God teaches. And the Bible teaches us, biblical doctrine is, lower yourself, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to suffer here, you're going to be hated, mm-hmm. you may be killed, you're going to be persecuted, and then you get your reward on the other side to go be with the Father, and you'll be glorified with the Father, and you can glorify him. And so it's basically a surrender and trading of this life for a better one to come. But yet false teachers like that wolf Joel Osteen down in Texas, one of his favorite sayings is, your best life now. Which telling people that they can live the best life right now, my brother said, that's like the exact opposite of what God's word says, that we're to die to self here to serve Christ, serve our brethren, serve the world, the gospel, and then we're going to get our reward and live to be with the Father. They have it the exact opposite. Have it all now, and they think they're going to heaven anyway, which they have a false gospel. They're not going to make it.
Right. And the brother said, if they don't think heaven is better, then they're insane.
Yeah.
Better than this life now.
Exactly. Yeah. Satan has them very deceived.
Yeah. And here's one that goes with that. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when this is a prime example of your best life now of what you don't want.
Yeah.
Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. This part right here. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So people live for their flesh and live for the culture and live for their ways here. They have their reward already. And we're all striving to go be with Christ. Ultimately, he is our reward when we get to the other side in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And we're willing to lay everything down now for that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Another point was, Yeah, this is a big one that I think sisters can be really have an issue with, is partiality. Even the publicans are nice to their own.
Yep. Yeah. We see this a lot as we witness. We'll witness if we stand outside a religious building or if we run into a group of Baptists or something, mm-hmm. and we start witnessing to them, and they go, well, you're not part of our church. Like, as if we don't count because we don't belong on their church rolls. And we go, how many bodies of Christ are there? And they go, well, one. And we go, well, we're part of that one. Well, but not ours. And so they have partiality. The Anabaptists are real big at that. The Baptists are big. All of them are. Catholics are big at that.
Yeah.
And we have to refute that by not having any partiality. 1 Timothy 5, God hates partiality. And making sure that we are walking in the ways of the Father, that always are using righteous judgment.
Right.
And always considering who may be and who probably is not our brethren in Christ. And so knowing good theology, doctrine, knowing who has the fruit of being our true brothers and sisters versus people that have lip service. We talked about that mm-hmm. on the brothers audio, lip service Christianity. So that's a big factor there.
Right. I think we have Matthew 5:46-47. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. So we don't want to be that way. We want to love our brothers and sisters, but then we want to love the people of the world. We want to take the gospel to them. We don't want to be like these religious people that love on each other, and then they really, in great partiality, don't even care about the people around them.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's not a good example.
No, Jesus wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think this is the last point, and I have a verse. It says, oh, yeah, you go many miles to make a proselyte, and then you make twice the devil you are. That was my note on here. That was Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more of a child of hell than yourselves.
Yeah.
Can't remember what all was being said about that, but it was another point, you know, how we just see that out there.
Yeah, we're talking about how the false church system set everything up, and they work hard to, like, woo people in with their bounce houses and their programs and their books and their coffee bars and their funny pastors and their Super Bowl parties. And they go and they do all kinds of things. They may even go to other countries and set up their church system, and they try to get proselytes, as they say. They try to get people that they're trying to win to their faith, and then they end up turning those people into wicked, unbiblical, hypocritical people, and they're really not winning them at all.
Right. And while we say that, I was thinking about while we were at that festival, the music fest, a woman came up to me and she's like, I wanted to ask you something. And a lot of the women do that. They like to try to pretend like they're nice. And then they shoot you with a question like, how many people have you won to the Lord doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
And I have an audio on there witnessing to one woman, and I was like, so who brings people to the Lord?
Yeah.
Not us, him.
Yeah.
And I said, you people are bringing him into this worldly carnal flesh fest.
Right.
Yeah, so they lower, we get that a lot, yeah.
They lower the standard way down to get more people in, and they miss the whole point that God has a high standard in Christ, and he adds to the body. And so that's one of the big problems. They've turned it into a business of numbers and success and growth, whereas really what the Lord is all about is spirit and truth. They missed the mark by a mile.
Yeah, there's a Satan synagogue.
Yeah, they are.
So, of course, they're going to be filled up.
Yeah.
With all kinds of people who love their sins.
So amen.
Don't
amen.
Be one of them, sisters. Yeah. You don't want to be filling up that Satan synagogue.
He's so those were many of them. Those were the points you had. Did you have any more?
No, I think that
we had some good discussions.
Oh yeah, definitely. There was quite a bit. I was just paging through here to make sure I didn't miss anything.
And check
it's
out
been a long day.
Yep. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering. We have some really good audios that the brothers and I did today. Just discussions and a couple topics we covered. So check out that gathering place, and that'll edify you.
Well, when I was talking to a sister, I was thinking about this. It reminded me. I thought it was really good, and I made a note on it.
Yeah, you had a phone talk today.
Yeah, and so, praise God, she has two little ones that her and her husband are raising in the admonition of the Lord, and she said that she's been really working on overcoming, I like that word, not being frustrated a lot. You know, when you got two little ones, and you got to discipline you, sisters with children or who have raised children. We know how
it can be a struggle.
A minute by minute by minute by minute, it could be, depending on their day. And you really got to kill your flesh. And she was saying, no, I'm not going to let that happen. Because she said, they're blessed to be godly, holy parents, you know, raising them in the ways of the Lord. The last thing she wants them to see is a frustrated parent.
Right.
You know, that if doesn't have the peace and the joy. So
yeah.
She's
what kind of witness would that be?
Exactly. That's what she said. And she's overcoming in the flesh. And I said, yeah, that's awesome. I love to hear that from a young woman who's going deeper in the scriptures and loving the Lord. And I said, yeah, overcome your flesh. Don't be overcome by it. So,
and that's another reason why, and we've worked with couples in this before, is to have your children in order, trained, and disciplined. Because when the children are disciplined and trained and in order, yep, even using the rod or using punishment on them to train them, mom and dad have a lot less frustration.
Oh,
And this couple you're talking about have really done a good job with that. They have small children, and they're really doing well-behaved on audio calls. You don't even know they're there.
Right.
And so that's awesome. Good discipline is going to go a long way to help those children be sober-minded and in control and help the parents not have so much frustration.
Yeah, it breaks their will to where it will be the will of what God wants, because that's what the parents are teaching them.
Yeah, the parents are going to teach that their will is going to be broken, so that then they're, when it's time for them to come of age, they're willing to give their will to God and obey him. So the parents break the will, so they're ready to obey God. If you don't break their will, they go, why do I have to obey God? And you just, it's a terrible downhill.
Exactly, yeah. So press on, sisters who are raising children.
Yeah, they're a blessing.
You know, it's a whole lot of work and continuous. But as they grow older, you know, and they mold to it, it will get easier.
Yep.
You know, in some ways it
Amen.
Will. It's always going to be a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so praise God.
Hold fast. They grow up and it does go by fast.
It goes by way too
fast. Life goes by fast.
It does.
Before you know it, you'll be bouncing grandchildren.
Yeah.
If the Lord tarries.
Yeah. Be thankful for today.
Amen. Amen. Anything else, Sister Amin? Or do you, I think you have a scripture verse to share?
I do. Revelation 20. No, I'm sorry. Revelation 22, 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Oh, that's awesome. Book of Revelation.
Kind of like wrapping it all up at the end.
I love the book of Revelation. I have a scripture verse to share, but before that,
what?
We have a praise report. What's our praise report?
Yeah, we know a saint who is going to be beginning a new life soon.
Oh, we know a saint that is headed to an airport and is going to be flying across the world, around the world, to go be with some other saints and start a new life there. And we could not be happier
Amen.
For them. And we see God being glorified in it all. So we'll have more to say about this to come in the future and more talk about it. But we are just so happy to be a part of it and to see lives come together and see people Are people going to grow from this, Sister Emma?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You think that is a good cause when we don't believe that all the saints got to move and glom onto each other in one spot? God, no. Maybe have people spread out. Right. But when the situation's right, whether it's a single woman or a widowed woman or something, and there might be wise for people to be together. And I think that causes a lot of growth because it's a lot different long distance relationships to face to face, isn't it?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so it's a good thing, and we're excited about it.
Amen.
Yeah. It's got to be a glorious thing. We hope for a safe plane trip and everything.
Definitely.
That's
yeah.
a long way to fly.
It is.
Like, what, 18-hour flight or something?
I think it was 14.
Oh, my.
But still, yeah.
It's Australia to Canada.
Yeah.
That's a long flight. Well, right. It's a couple flights, but that's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Makes me think of my flying days. Do you miss your flying days, Sister?
No. Every time I see a plane, I'm so thankful to be set free. We're in it all the time.
I have a saying, since I gave up flying for business, I will never, ever, 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 ever fly again unless the Lord calls me to go do it.
Amen.
So I'll leave it open for that. We'll see, Sister Emma.
Oh, the Lord's will be done.
Amen, amen. I have a last scripture verse I want to talk about. We talked about today on the Brothers Call, portions. I think they were reading from Psalms. Daniel 1, 8 and 9. This is about Daniel, and I think about Daniel being in a far-off land, under a foreign pagan ruler, but Daniel still had a heart for the things of God, and I think it's a good example for all of us. But Daniel purposed in his heart, I like that, purposed in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So I think that's kind of cool. Daniel, a godly man, doesn't want to defile himself. He's in a foreign land. He's got people pressuring to do stuff. And God makes a way through the rulers there so that he could obey and keep the Father's ways.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
and so we can trust in that. The Father always makes a way, like he did with the saint, finding freedom. Like he does in the body life when people bring issues, like he does when we go out witnessing and we have to survive 13 hours in 100-degree heat and you're old like us.
That's so funny. We laugh about that because it's like only God could do that.
I'm telling you, when we were out there for 13 hours the other day at a music fest, it felt like about an hour. There was so much witnessing. But when I go back and look at the videos that we put up in the audios and I hear that worldly carnal ear bleed music, and I'm like, how did we survive that? I hear a minute of it and I'm like, I don't even know how I'd want to be around that much. But it's like when you're witnessing, is it like the Lord almost blocks it out for you and your focus is on the person, the gospel, your mission? You're clearly not focused on what's going on.
No, I guess I was thinking about that as you say that. It's kind of like all that noise and music is like an irritating fly that you just kind of keep pushing away from you while you're busy doing what you're supposed to. You're so focused, it's all like just an annoying thing in the background or something. But
it's probably like if you were a parent, you ran in a burning building for your children, the flames wouldn't be nearly as hot as you're going to do what you know you got to do.
Oh, right.
But you certainly wouldn't run into a burning building just for the fun of it.
Uh-uh.
And so that's what it's like. And so God always gives us what we need in there. In the scripture verse, he gave Daniel what he needed. So we can trust that the Father's always, he's a good father. I love that verse where he says, he's a good father. He doesn't give his son a snake if he asks for a loaf of bread. And then Christ says, if you being evil know how to be a good father, how much more your Father in heaven?
Right. And we see many examples where people weren't taking out of their situation. They had to stay in it. It wasn't good on the flesh, but they pushed all the way through it, and wow, God used them. So he doesn't always remove you out of your situation. You may have one that you will never get out of.
Or a lot of times God will leave you there for a time to grow you and all that, and then makes a way.
You never know.
He always makes a way, and so, yeah, that's an awesome thing. So, anything else, Sister Emma?
No, I think that's good.
All right, what do we got at the top of the audio page? We just got some videos and things, right?
Yeah.
Pictures, videos. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering page, and check out the gospel most of all. Make sure there's nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul said, to know him crucified. Everything else is dung. Paul just said having the knowledge of knowing him is better. Everything else is dung. So we hope that's your portion. We hope you're seeking the Lord with all that you are. We're here to help you. Send us an email, no matter where you are, and let us know how we can help you in the faith. That's what we're all about, aren't we, Sister Emma?
Amen.
Yeah. We love you all. Go out and have a glorious day. seeking the King of Kings.
Right. May God be praised.